don't know if I've ever been good.
No,
Keith. Oh, we're live. Hey, welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Hemda.
Hello, Hemda. Hemda, how are you? We'll get to that. First off, let's introduce today's guests from the Am I the Asshole podcast. Danny Vega. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Keith. I'm stealing this this nose-squeezing bit from you. I've never seen a grown man do that in 20 years, so thank
anything,
you.
Anything for humor. And the new co-host of Am I the Asshole, Shannon D. Hello, Shannon.
That's me. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. If this turns into a D's nuts joke, I want to tell you ahead of time, I saw it coming, all right?
That was actually my Twitter handle years ago when I had one.
Nice.
Shannon D's nuts.
Why would you let that go ever? I don't care what he turns Twitter into. You don't let it go. You don't let go D's nuts.
I know. It's somewhere. I don't know the password, but it's out there.
You don't let go of D's nuts.
What are we turning into?
Hemda has COVID.
No.
Hemda has COVID, and she's trying to see a doctor. And like it seems we've been talking about lately on Keith and the Girl, it seems impossible. Is everybody finally going to the doctor now after the pandemic?
They must be. I was so upset because I started feeling like I'm getting sick yesterday. And I'm like, this has to be a cold. It feels like a cold. I'm going to take a COVID test anyway because I just want to see how I treat this. You know, do I just throw NyQuil down my face or do I take the COVID medication that I heard could, you know, help with long-term COVID and the whole thing, right? So I'm doing the right thing. And I call the doctor and they're like, we're going to have to see you. And I'm like, okay, I just tested positive for COVID. It'll be telehealth. Can you do like Friday? And I'm like, why would I need to do Friday?
It's Monday.
Yeah. So I have an appointment tomorrow morning and I'm like, can I just get medicine until then?
Wait, so you did test positive?
Yes, I have the tests. What are they going to see?
Right.
Yeah, really. There's nothing else. It's not like treatment or anything.
You guys are treating me right now. Okay, how do I look? Do I look like I need some COVID medication?
Which is ironic. This weekend, me and my buddies were doing Paxlovid for fun. Just getting fucked up.
I thought that would be the easy part. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to be an adult. There's a thing that I can take for this. I'm not going to neglect myself. I call the pharmacy first because I figure it's just like everything else with COVID. Like, just show up. Just take it. Just do the right thing, right? I call up the pharmacy. I hit two to get to the pharmacy. And I'm like, hey, I just tested positive for COVID. I don't know how to get this medication without getting all of you sick. And he's like, oh, you're going to need to, like, call someone. And they're going to have to call a pharmacy like CVS because this is like a local pharmacy. And I'm like, okay, I just thought I'd call a pharmacist to see what I can do right now. And he's like, well, I'm not the pharmacist. And I go, I was about to say, why am I talking to you? But he wouldn't even give me space. He was like, you could take stuff for the symptoms if you know. I'm like, are you listing what you're looking at the pharmacy right now, you child?
Or just Google.
Stuffed animals over here. I don't know. A lot of different products.
Are you guys good?
Gummy bears.
Are you too good at dealing with stupidity over the phone? I hang up in 2 seconds. I get nothing done. I'm like, fuck you. I go, fuck you, die. And then I call back later with a new voice.
I'm not exaggerating.
There's nothing that makes me madder, but I stay on the line. But I don't know what it is. It's just like instant rage. Like if Siri is wrong about something, I'll start punching my car. It's not good.
I know. Whenever I'm on the phone and like it breaks up, even with like my mom or someone that I'm close with, like I'm so viscerally mad at them about it. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not their fault in any way.
That's the thing. You end up sounding like an asshole, like right away. Like, oh, did I lose you? Hello? Hello? It's like, how did you get to that?
Can't hear you.
Hello, I'm annoyed by this already.
Well, I have big news. It's another celebrity death. Do I tell you now at the beginning of the show, Hemda? Or do I tell you later?
Just consider that I already died and I'm dead through this podcast. So...
All right. Yeah. In a more serious way, Paul Rubens passed away. 70 years old. He was battling cancer in secret for at least 6 years. I don't know what kind.
Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee Herman.
The guy behind the sandwich.
Oh, he died.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pee Wee. Oh, my God. I thought Pee Wee Herman was his name. I was confused.
You thought his name was Pee Wee Herman?
He looked like it.
The parents knew right away.
Paul Rubin, that's a joke name for this guy. That guy's name was Pee-wee.
You know, if I die, I won't be upset if people go, the girl died. Oh, her name was right. Hebda. Holy shit. It wasn't the girl. I thought it was an Israeli name. She was born in Israel, you know.
You know, of course, Pee-wee's Playhouse. He whacked it in a movie theater. When I say movie theater, to be clear, not to disparage him, it was a porn theater. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Sit there and study it? Fucking weirdo. You should be arrested for that if your dick's not out.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to be doing there.
Yeah, why was that even a headline?
Well, I'll tell you why.
I'm so upset that his legacy got tarnished and with this... I jerk off in a porno movie and you caught me and you know I'm Pee Wee Herman. I was so upset that we got so upset by him jerking off in that theater.
I was too until I saw the tape and he's whacking. He's like, and everybody's like, just can I enjoy this? No, of course not. Come on, guys. But yes,
do
it is a shame.
Do people still go to those? Are those still things?
They're gone now. But I came to New York in 1996 and they were still there.
When was his ordeal? Do you guys know?
Before 96.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like that was a more recent thing, though. Like, I don't know. I remember hearing about it, and I don't think at like 6 years old I would have heard about him jerking off.
A story like that
never does
last the test of time, you know?
Yeah.
Did the forest, or what am I trying to say? Did the carpet match the drapes? In other words,
yeah, everything was white in that theater. Is that what you mean? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Pee-wee sort of sounds like...
Tiny.
Pee-wee.
Got me?
If you know what I mean.
Got me?
So we're... Kinda, when you get COVID, you always got to ask the person, was it fucking worth it? Where do you think you got it?
Of course, I start looking back. I even... Okay, so this weekend was a big weekend for me. I went to the movie theater.
Oh, Kinda never does that.
So I'm like, okay... Pee-wee?
Because of Pee-wee, yeah. she doesn't be like scratching a thigh and she gets accused, you know?
And then I also went to a Chinese restaurant to celebrate a friend's birthday. And I shit you not. So that was Saturday. And we're saying goodbye. And someone goes to hug me. And I said out loud, but to myself, this is how we get COVID. Because I'm like, oh, we're hugging. And it throws me off now because usually we sort of like wave and... Even though we are next to each other, I don't super go extra. And I hugged like 3 to 4 people, the extra long hug, because they were holding me. And I was like, all right, COVID's over. But and also I was like, I let go and they were still hugging. And I was like, you know what? This feels good. I'm going to go with it. Apparently we're all safe. This is so nice.
Right. Extra long hug, extra long COVID. Oh, yes. No.
I know. I wish that's one thing that stuck with the pandemic etiquette is just the waving. I love that.
Right. Yeah. So then.
Don't touch me.
Then they go, it's so good to see you.
Yes. And we start, you know, I'm like, oh, let's all take pictures so that, you know, we have pictures of this. And then we start a little group thing and we send pictures there. And then 2 days later, Hemda goes to that group chat like, P.S. I just got... And I'm thinking, like, I'm acting.
She's like, do you see what I see in picture number 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Yeah, it feels like we had an orgy and I have to tell you I got AIDS or something. That's how texting them felt. I was like, hey, you know that fun thing we did together?
Check really this long out. Hugs. The sensual long hugs.
Hey, did any of them get it? So far, they're like, oh, so sorry to hear that. I'm like, all right, so then you're safe. Here's another thing. That was Saturday. On Sunday, I wasn't really around anyone. I'm coming home, and my neighbors are very chatty with other neighbors. They sit on their stoop. They introduce us to other neighbors. So they were talking to another neighbor, and I'm like, I already feel sick. So now I'm trying to get into the house as soon as possible so that they're not having me breathe on people. They introduce me. I wave. I would have to take 2 steps to physically touch this person. I waved, nice to meet you. He insists, extends his hand. I'm like, okay, I wave again. I'm like, well, here it comes. I didn't take a test. Here's COVID. And then I realized my neighbor is, what do you call those people who don't believe in it?
All deniers.
He's a denier. So I don't even know if I should bother telling him, like, hey, I shook this other guy's hand who insisted I have COVID now. I don't know what to do. Is it like getting a sexually transmitted disease and now you have to go back?
Are you responsible to tell them?
I'm posting it so that I could be like, if you were around me and you're reading this,
you know what?
Bitch fell off.
Right. fuck your neighbor for not listening to your show. How about that? If we can't, we can't tell more people.
He would know.
Yeah. Care what I do? You're my neighbor.
Follow my life.
Yeah. So looking back, the Barbie movie. Let's say it was that where you got COVID. Worth it?
Nothing's worth it.
I just checking.
It's worth it. I'm talking to you guys right now.
I thought you were super afraid of it or like immunocompromised or something.
All of it.
I am, but after the vaccines and now that it's mild, now that it's not taking people out by the thousands,
right?
I feel more confident. I'm not going to die from it. I'm just going to suffer and be annoyed.
Yeah, hey, guys, when are you gonna get your studio back? Oh, gee, we don't know yet.
Having the flu, is that how your symptoms are?
Not even. It's like having a cold, just annoying, blowing nose, and like I'm just ugly, you know?
I disagree, though.
Oh, wait, are we allowed to use the word ugly anymore?
You're not. I don't think we are.
I said Hemda looked hot before the show. I think she has hot COVID. I think this might be the new strain. We've gone through
but you're always lying.
She's got the COVID glow.
I'm not a liar. How dare you? I'm always honest.
Hemda said, why do I have to work today, but Newsy didn't have to do his show? And I said, it's not called Keith and the News. All right? We got a show to do, and that's that. Now, you don't see Barbie and then keep it to yourself. Of course, Kendall wanted to be here.
I have to. I saw this movie. It's 2 hours long. It felt like 2 hours long. I'm not shitting on it. I laughed. I cried. But to be honest, me and my movie theater, which we're now family, I think is what happens. Mm-hmm. Me and my movie theater full of women. And there was so much more crying than laughing. So much more crying. We almost walked out like it was a funeral. Like, it was. And remember, okay, so I think did everyone see it?
Yes.
Okay.
Keith really needs it. Sorry, go ahead.
I liked it a lot, but I knew everything already, Danny, to be honest. Oh, so it didn't blow my mind.
You knew it all.
Sure you did, Keith. You knew it all.
Well, yeah, so remember the speech that she was saying and like, men get a pass at this and they go over here and they go, and it's like this long speech. At the end of it, you heard this at the movie theater. Oh. And then followed by
I cried. I was with a woman who didn't cry. It was really awkward. Go ahead.
Oh wow, hold that thought, please. Because at the end of that, it was that sound, it was removing tears from your eyes, and then it was almost an ovation, like you heard a couple claps, and then we all simultaneously was like, let's not interrupt. And then continued going. Oh, it's so sad. You went with someone who didn't cry?
Yeah, I cried at that speech. That line really stuck with me. It's impossible to be a woman. I was like, man, that's brutal.
Yeah,
be
thin, but not too thin. We don't say thin, we say healthy, but seriously, be thin. And then it goes on and on about all the, you know, the irony women have to deal with. Yeah. And was it a date or just a friend?
Just a friend. Okay. I've known her many years. But
you knew that she was cold as ice?
Has she cried at anything else?
She pet me. Because I was in a weird place. Because I was like, do I want her to see me cry? Because that's kind of cool and like progressive. Uh-huh. But then I was like, maybe I don't. But then she kind of gave me like a soft little pet. And I was like, well, I guess now that I've been noticed, I was obviously it's because I'm so progressive and feminist. That's why I'm crying.
Where does she pat you on your head? Like we do women?
God damn it. Make him watch it again.
I didn't cry, actually.
But you're so pretty.
I had that exact thought, Shannon, because like there's that great line with Margot Robbie where they're like, you know, they're making some point about how if you're not good looking enough, and they're like, note, do not cast Margot Robbie if you're trying to make this point.
I thought Danny brought Barbie to the show. Like, I was like, what a booking coup. Like, this is amazing.
Thank you.
I'll be Middle Eastern Barbie, and this way we can hang.
Barbie.
My theater had a lot of, especially during the America speech. Mm-hmm, that's right. Almost like they're looking around behind, like, did you catch that?
I feel like Keith looking is aging you. Alan. like Alan. Alan as a middle-aged man.
How dare you? How dare you?
Well, I think it's very lucky that no one was allowed to pause the movie. Because like Keith said, it was like, I would pause and be like, should I rewind that?
Right.
Yeah. You need to hear that one more time. And so it was all of that. There was a lot of crying. And then afterwards, I was like, okay, conservatives are angry. Men are angry. And I thought to myself, like, you should be angry. We called you stupid idiots the whole time, start to finish. But you should be angry in a way that tells you why we're angry.
You should be embarrassed that you're angry.
Yes. This is all they did actually perfectly was depict, here's what it's like in a fake world where you're down. Mm-hmm. Here's what it's like in the real world where we're down and you were uncomfortable for the first time.
For 2 hours.
Maybe you don't know how to deal with it.
But it's like they never heard this concept before. It's like brand new information for them.
But it's very upsetting. It's like, you know, the 10 guys who run Mattel are bumping into each other trying to like actually do work. And I don't know how to tell you this, guys. Yes, that's how we think of you. Fix it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see how you think of us. We're detectives in your movie finally, but we're running with 5-inch heels. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Is that reality to you? And I didn't like, you know, Whoopi Goldberg, I saw, was like, guys, it's a movie. No, it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Yeah, it's art. It's depicting life.
Yes. It's sending a message. I think that guys could be upset by this. Go ahead and be upset. Were you harassed? No. Were you depicted as buffoons? Yes. You can go ahead and be upset at that. But then, you know, find the bigger picture.
How do you play yourself?
Just upset because it's true.
How do you hate it so publicly? And I guess, are you a flat out grifter? And so you're a Ben Shapiro and you try to get me riled up and then I buy your product and send you money? Or are you really upset and not embarrassed? You're telling everybody your dick is in the knee. Yeah,
exactly. It would be embarrassing that you're upset about this. Yeah.
No, I think that you can show being upset because it is something to be upset about. When you depict us as buffoons, when we get upset, you go, why are you being so sensitive? So now we're depicting you as buffoons and you're getting upset, but you're not getting the bigger message. There is no bigger message when you depict us like that. You're just honestly depicting us like that, no matter what. It was a cartoon and we were depicted like that. It was children's shows. It was rated PG, PG-13, rated G. We were always buffoons. We always needed your help. We always needed rescuing.
Yep, damsel in distress.
This is the first movie that just said, hey, we wrote this as a female part and then gave it to men. And then you were upset.
And you wouldn't be upset if it wasn't true. You know, we really do admire The Godfather. We do love Rocky. I did play Matchbox 20 adult girl before. You know, they're right.
Amanda and the boy.
What's that? That's Keith what I'm thinking. Right, Amanda and the boy.
Yes.
One of my favorite lines is about, and you know, I was criticized on this very podcast. I won't name any names, but it was a certain individual who's here and has a very shiny, beautiful scalp. That my
That's
emotion.
That's just COVID.
I didn't mean you. My emotions that I cried, and this person made fun of my cry repeatedly, which actually made me cry privately.
Oh, right, because you're sorry. Just to real quick, Shannon, to fill you in. Do you know how he cries? Like, that's all I was saying. Danny, please continue.
I've never seen him cry like that.
Well, I have. Oh, my God.
Well, certain people are, you know, they're not in touch with their emotions, so they're jealous of. And I hope those people paid attention to the part of the movie where the woman, I believe she was a Supreme Court justice, was like, I use logic and emotion, and they work together, because I thought that was a very important part. There's a lot of good dialogue. Let me just go down hard on that. Great dialogue in this movie.
And great outfits. Great accessories.
May I say, kudos to the movie. Yes, very good. You got all the points. You got all the feelings. But we should all be upset by the movie, not just the conservatives. What the fuck? Did I just pay $20 to go to the summit and watch the final video for the rebranding of Mattel? What? These people came to you and said, remember Barbie and how we fucked your shit up when we first put this out? And then we pretended like we were being real by taking your ideas and going, how about astronaut Barbie? And you were like, why are you trying to placate us? But we'll take it anyway and continue buying it. And then they were like, how about slightly bigger ass Barbie? And we were like, that's a little bit better, but you're still fucking with us. And then they were like, how about this movie where we say exactly what we did to you, but we make us look like buffoons, which is another version of the PR apology that we usually get from people, but it's a bad apology. This was written really well by the best PR and given to us. Oh, why can't Barbie just be the visualization of a child being in their fantasy land? Why? Because look at the beginning of the movie. What the fuck? They got us all. They even were you guys not surprised that we didn't exit through a gift shop after this movie?
I felt,
what the fuck?
I felt it.
You're all coming back here like this is just women power. This is fucking Mattel power to the fucking thousandth degree, and no one's talking about that. We're fighting against each other for Mattel. The fuck is wrong with you?
And I give it because two thumbs up.
Yeah, because they said look. They wrote something good, but they fake apologized, and you guys didn't catch it. They fake up. They're like, well, we talked about it. They're talking about how Mattel, you know, they're the ones that did this, and they're making fun of themselves. Yes, it's like those fucking rapists who come on with their apology. If I hurt anyone, I'm so sorry. I didn't do it, but I'm a better person now. Like all this shit, that's exactly what this movie is. And yes, it was written well and told our part also, but that's what they do with those fake apologies. You come up with this rounded view of, look, we could see you now. We're on your side. And they even said, how about regular Barbie? Oh, was I just sold the new fucking coming out Barbie? And the guy was like, oh, that sounds stupid. Well, it looks like it's going to make us a lot of money. Oh, I'm still an asshole head of Mattel. We're going to put that out. They stopped the movie a few times to go, this outfit is available and it's called this. And this is what you should Google and look for. Buy it now. We were actually put on pause. You know, the pause button that you wanted to say, like, hey, did you catch that speech? You might be a better person if you catch what I'm catching right now. They paused it for you. Here's the outfit you can get. Here's the new doll you can get. Nobody saw this as a 2-hour commercial that you paid money for.
Oh, no. I agree. I was okay. Yeah. I was okay that even if it's a trick, I was okay with the parts where they did seem to attack Mattel. All men being in charge of Mattel. Tax evasion.
Mattel. They're attacking Mattel like they attack themselves when they say they're sorry for what they're not sorry for. They are attacking themselves to show fake humility, to go, look, we're down on the ground. You're down on the ground. Millions and millions of dollars are being made because of this fucking movie. And you're all wearing pink for it because you know what you said ahead of time? I'm buying in ahead of time. Mattel told me to wear pink.
And did you hear Mattel's doing like a million other movies like Barney and like Uno or something. Oh,
why not? Every not movie like this.
Polly Pockets.
If they make the Draw 4 be a good guy, I'm going to be pissed off. Ken is right.
I get it. I get it. But it is like, it is sort of like using God. You know, God can give you a really good feeling, a sense of community, a sense of like, when you're down, there's a place to go to. There's a leader that you can turn to. But they're giving you the things like, hey, don't you feel lonely? Don't you need community? Well, believe in this dude or be damned to hell or try to have a nice life if you accept everything we tell you to do. There is no take what you like and leave the rest. There's a fake take what you like and leave the rest. When you have weird priests going, yeah, I'm good with you people being gay and I'm good with you people like listening to half the Bible. And you know that's bullshit. You know that's bullshit to keep this bullshit going. That is what this movie is. So yes, it's very good. Yes, I can go to church and have a great time. The songs are great. The community is fantastic. I get to hug people again.
Ooh,
right?
Ooh.
Okay.
I like your heat on this. I understand it. I mean, it was branded content. And I think you're right that maybe got glossed over because we were so like, wow, this is, look at this. It opens with an homage to 2001 A Space Odyssey. This is a real film. But it's like, no, this is a real commercial. It was a commercial.
At the end, I'm sorry to cut you off. It started with a commercial. And at the end, I sat through the credits just in case. And also, I like to sit through the credits. I sat through the credits. it was commercial after commercial for the dolls. And I know they were making fun of it. Like, look, this is the doll that failed us. You're still showing us commercials.
Yeah. I think you're right. I like that you're raising that point. I think a lot of people did it. But I do think for a commercial, I thought it brought a lot. I mean, I was thinking of it as, you know, I hope some young boys see it. I think I would have done really well to have seen this as a younger man.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's played out for us. You know, you guys, we're all like, you know,
coastal elites. It's not played out. It's beautifully written, and it's written well enough for people to understand if they want to. But the Bible is the same way. You get a beautiful feeling. Some of the stuff feels really good. Some of the stuff is really good advice. Don't covet other people's shit. You're only going to live a bad life. So yes, few of the commandments are a really good idea, but what you're using it on a whole should be a little bit something. Now, if I didn't have COVID, that something would have come out like a word.
And I would have taken a bow.
A really good word, yes. But I can only drop my glasses. So dropping the mic is next time.
But
remember, okay, I'm sorry, one more thing. Remember, I don't know if you remember this. At the beginning of really the internet's hype, like the beginning, right, there was this gene thing. This before everyone was doing amazing videos, parkour, like how did you do that type thing. There were these people who were swinging and then... and then jumped into jeans that people were holding.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, look at this. We passed it around to every single person. You guys still remember it, and you're at least 10 years younger than us. That's when the internet was first like, oh, this is a viral video, and only one viral video happened a day. You know, like it was a very big deal. Do you know what that thing was? It was a commercial. It was a commercial for the jeans. It was put out like a viral video, but it actually had all of the plans behind it as a commercial. And that's what I think this is. Thank you. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy jumping into the jeans. I wondered how soft those jeans are. How could you jump right in? You know, all of those things were happening. They were right. It was entertaining. It was all of the things that we got to share with our friends about. And it was being used to control us. Thank you.
Well, you're not wrong, of course. I saw Oppenheimer, and I'm supposed to be thinking about the tragedy of the race war, but all I know, you know, the arms race, and I get home, first thing I do is buy plutonium. They got me.
Nice.
They got me. Nice. By the way, people, when this so-called double feature, we're going to see Barbie and Oppenheimer, and what order do we see them in? It's going to be a big day. The numbers are in by now, you liars. Oppenheimer, though it did great, is nowhere close to the numbers Barbie did. It's funny that this the genius that made Oppenheimer, and I say genius because he did like Inception, he did a whole bunch of great epic things. He won't have a number one movie this time. That's a little funny.
No.
I mean, for me, when I think about the three worst crimes against humanity, I think Hiroshima, Nagasaki, making a 3-hour movie. It's too long.
You're right. It is too long. You know what I did? I have the movie pass, and the movie theater is right next to me, and I know how to time the previews and all that. I left the movie, Oppenheimer, halfway through, knowing, which I just did, I'm going to see the other half a different time and break all the rules. So when I say it is a great movie, I can't imagine sitting down for 3 hours, though, because at the end, especially, it gets a little redundant. We get it. You're having a conflict in your head about what you built. You know what the fuck you built. You did it. Move on. It's a bomb that killed many innocent people as well as evil people. You know that. What are you, for an hour? I wonder if I should have. And then it's funny when I come in, I'll tell you the whole process of that, but it wasn't as easy as I thought. Next time I would buy a ticket for a different movie and go into the movie late. What I did was buy the ticket for a movie that you could buy, because you can't buy a movie once it started. And I said, hey, I'm actually going to the other movie. What theater's that in? And the guy's like, ooh, I don't have the seat information for that. I'm like, I'm not going to bother anybody. But I already saw the first half. I'm like, okay, never mind. He's like, yeah, don't you want to see the whole movie though? And I go, you know what? Yeah. And he goes, oh, so you'll come back. And I'm like, no, I'll stay since I'm here. But you're right, real smart. And then I just found the movie. you know, but oh my God.
Yeah, what you could have just figured it out on your own.
I should have just found it. But no, instead, I'm not doing anything wrong. You're getting the same money.
And also, couldn't you have paid like online?
No.
Earlier?
Oh, yes. God, women are smart.
I like how you were just like, well, I'm going to see the other half of the movie. Like, yeah. He's supposed to be like, oh, yeah, that's very normal. Yes, many people are doing that. Totally normal thing. Yes, that fits into an established pattern of behavior we're all familiar with, sir.
Well, I didn't mean to blow their fucking mind.
It's one of the craziest things I've ever heard. Is it genius? Yes.
But then I get there, so I'm at the second half, and guess what's happening the whole second half? People running to use the bathroom. People running to use the bathroom because they don't want to miss something. Every scene in this movie is like a minute long. It moves kind of fast.
Oh, wow.
Somebody runs, they come back, they realize they missed the atom bomb exploding. You don't need a three-hour movie. Can you imagine you saw a three-hour movie and missed the bomb exploding?
Can I offer for, I know that theaters are already built and, you know, they're very precious and good job, LA. But what about this when we build a new theater? What if you got to go through the theater and then when you go down below, that's the entrance to the bathroom of that theater. And you can only get there because you already paid your ticket and you have to go through the seating area to go to the bathroom. Which means the movie is playing in that bathroom. So that when that's you take good. A break, your association with that bathroom exists because you have to go through there.
But when there's a quiet part in the movie.
Wait.
Flush.
And so you you can watch it while you're going to the bathroom? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
But,
yes. But every theater would have to have its own bathroom. Not a bad idea.
If it's a noisy number two, you got to go, got to leave. Shame.
No, the noise will cover it. Unless it's like a really dramatic monologue and there's a really long pause.
I hear other theaters sometimes if I'm watching something slow or serious, like Oppenheimer, the bomb goes off, you see it for like a minute before you hear it and it's perfectly quiet. You'd be able to hear Barbie singing next door. So I don't know that people know how to soundproof shit.
You got to time your shit with the atomic bomb going off.
You know what we have run pee? That they have and shit. And it tells you when to drop your deuce. The loudest parts of local movies.
There's an app. I seen it on the app store. And it tells you how to time your restroom breaks.
Oh, yeah. Run pee. Yeah, we talked to that guy. It's genius. Yeah.
Oh, for the movies?
Yeah.
Each movie?
Tells you when to take a break and tells you what you missed if you click another button.
I love that. Three-hour movies really should still have intermissions. Like, remember Titanic?
Mm-hmm. It had an intermission?
Titanic had an intermission.
Oh.
At least where I saw it.
You saw it on a double VHS tape and your dad gave you a break.
I don't understand why they don't want to do pauses. I get the turnover, but... Oh, because then you refill your popcorn and you refill your drinks and refills are cheaper, right?
Oh.
Refills are free or some shit, right?
Well, I think they're ending that now. I heard that Harkins now charges for a refill.
I say put a pause in. Put a pause in and put a bar in. And then people break and they get a drink like it's an adult outing.
Yeah.
What was the Civil War era movie that Tarantino did fairly recently? Hateful Eight. That had an intermission. Everybody loved that.
Mm. Yeah, I think they're great.
I think the Keith Malley custom intermission is interesting to me. You know, you got to pay an upcharge, but it's kind of like make your own intermission, baby. I mean, see the last third if you want. You
right.
Know?
Right. I, my intermission, I get late. I go to the bathroom. I grab lunch. I'll see you on Tuesday.
That's what you should turn. You should turn your place into some weird Airbnb pause for movies.
Right.
Like, hey, just come here for four hours in between the movie. Let it start again and go back.
Take a little break.
I also love, it's so stupid, I didn't even think, buy the ticket early. But I love being at the, you know, seat of my pants. Is that a saying? I love, you know, going at a moment's notice. Fly by the seat of my pants. I like that.
Because you said you have that movie pass thing.
So you still pay for it, of course. But yes, everything's basically free.
But it's cheaper, right?
It's much cheaper. Yeah, it's like, it's worth... It's the price of less than two movies a month, not to be a salesman.
Oh,
here.
Nice.
Yeah. And I take advantage. Oh, well. But it is, everybody's running. Everybody's running around, idiots. Who's the asshole? They are stupid.
And it's so hard. It's so hard to see a movie. I think you have to be like Keith. You live close. You have a movie pass. You know the timing of the commercials in the front because it's you got to get tickets now, and there's no seats. It took me this whole week to figure out when to see a movie. When I go to comedy, I just go. When I go to other things, I just go.
I mean, it's a to-do, this world, but we do our best. Yeah. Anyway, what would you give Barbie 1 to 10, Kemta? Because we're confused.
Ugh. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. Is that... I know that you're very disappointed at that. What would you guys
do? I don't want to say the word. It's a kind of a pussy thing to do, but I would say I'd give it an 8. I'd give Oppenheimer a 9.
I was going to give it an 8, but I want points off for, like, I know what you're doing, so I cut it in half.
You want
like,
an
the movie's yes. 8, but then if you can take your fucking bullshit out of it, like the more commercials, pausing the thing to buy things, then you get a 4, but really in my heart, it's an 8. Does that make
I think
sense?
It could have been like an hour and a half. Honestly, yes. I think it could have been like a sketch on SNL.
Right,
I did too. Would have gotten the point across.
I did too. Could have been 20 minutes. And you got like, it's fucking good. And then you can send it to friends easily.
It could have been just that
8.5.
speech.
8.5.
I thought
right.
it was so good. And the set design was so good. And I thought a child could enjoy it. I don't know any kids, but I was like, a kid could get into this part. Mm-hmm. The dancing.
Oh my God. Did you like I'm sorry, Danny. Did you like the dancing?
No, that's the one part I didn't like. Okay. But I was like, you got to deal with some dancing. Sure. It's a Barbie movie. That's gosh. Life.
May I tell
loved
you that
song?
When they went into dancing, like when they were like, oh, we're just going to go home and just do a choreographed dance. And I'm like, wow, there's no way that a lot of people like this. But I felt like, I'm like, no shit. This is what happens in my head all the time. This music and choreographed dancing. In my head, as a fun activity, that happens. So I'm like, wow, okay, maybe this is a thing that other people do. And I'm like, there's no way if you're not doing that in your own head that you are enjoying this very lengthy choreography. It was very long.
Just in your daily life, like when you got COVID, you had a choir behind you singing about it.
Non-COVID.
I mean, I do choreography in my head when I'm, like, I could be on my bike, I could be walking, I could just be sitting around choreography in my head.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I do like music videos a lot. Like I rollerblade and listen to music and I imagine like everyone breaks out in song and dance with me.
When you saw it in Barbie, people were rollerblading. Did you feel like the rest of the audience didn't get it as much as you did?
Yeah, it was like definitely that? An inside baseball kind of thing.
And now they're going backwards, and I do that sometimes.
Can I just say, I think one of the funniest lines of the movie was kind of targeted toward us as podcasters, dare I say it. The line about the I forgot how we got there, but it was like the weird, unimaginable things would happen, and they were like, a podcast by two old trees or a chorus of 20,000 young single fathers.
Right.
I love this line.
Yeah.
I missed that part.
You know what? I love all of the times where in TV and movies and in pop culture, they make fun of podcasts because when we first started this podcast in 2005, we weren't even hearing the word. And when somebody was like, what do you do for a living? And I said, podcast, I stopped saying podcast because I used to have to explain it. It used to sound like I'm in my mother's basement saying like, I wanted tuna fish, not cheese, like all kinds of shit. So I stopped. And now it's like, okay, why don't you do a podcast on that so I could unsubscribe? And I'm like, they know what a podcast is. This is
yay,
crazy.
We did it.
You should unsubscribe.
It's in the zeitgeist.
Finally. 18 years later and that word joke. We did it.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of which, I would love to do a couple Am I the Assholes with you both, if we may. And I think we may because I know you brought some. So at your leisure, please.
We've got the perfect one to take us from our Barbie discussion. Here we go. AITA for begging my girlfriend to uphold a sexist tradition just so she can make a good first impression.
Ooh, I love this one. Thank you for bringing it. I love this one.
I wonder what side I'm going to be on.
But we're always asking our mate to to code switch a little bit when they enter into our old universes, right?
Yes.
Please continue.
Yep.
I have a big family that's really close. We have big family dinners every few months where we all meet at my great-grandfather's estate.
I'm sorry, is this the dude?
Yes.
Okay.
Typically how this works is that the women go cook for the time they're there and the men don't, which I'm fully aware is sexist as hell. That said, I'm one of the youngest people in the family and my protests mean nothing. Some of those women choose not to cook. However, this is usually met with a level of ostracizing. The women who don't cook are live-in and long-term girlfriends, so they kind of already have a good family relationship doctored in. When I have seen new partners not cook, it's gone bad, like ostracized, not speaking, cattiness, rudeness. This dinner will be in 2 weeks, and my girlfriend was asked if she would attend. Initially, she said yes, which is great. I want for her to meet everyone and for everyone to get used to her being around, but when I explained to her the tradition, she was bothered. I told her that I understood where she was coming from. However, it was best for everyone if she played along. I told her this isn't a permanent thing.
Best for everyone. Well, I mean best for everyone, not the person I'm talking to. Yeah.
I told her this isn't permanent, that I'm only asking her to do this so she can avoid bad treatment from the rest of the fam. This is her first impression, and I don't think it's best if we cause waves. She told me it's unacceptable, and that if she has to do that, she won't be going. I've tried to find a compromise with her on this, but she won't budge and she's pissed at me. She told me that if I think that's acceptable to make her do this, I'm just as bad as everyone else. Well, my point is she needs to make a good first impression. AITA.
The word unacceptable is a big one. And I'm not taking it away from her. I'm saying there's your fucking answer, dude. It's unacceptable. Thank you.
Well, I was thinking, okay, so I'm from Israel and... I'm not a Jew anymore. I was raised Jewish. I went to yeshiva. It helped me become atheist. But if you go to Jerusalem and you want to get near the Wailing Wall, if you're married, you have to cover your head. If you're a dude, you have to cover your head. If you present like a dude, you will not be going to the female side. There's a bunch of sexist, old world, old school, because you are actually standing in front of an old wall and they have traditions. So, do you want to go to Jerusalem and see the Wailing Wall and touch it and like experience it? I have to wear a skirt. I have to have it be covering my whole legs. I can't show my collarbone. I can't show my wrist. I have to cover up. And if I am not wearing something that covers up, they give you something to cover up. So it's on me to go, all right, I'm about to go in here. These are the rules of this house. I either go inside or skip that adventure and see other things in Israel. I think that goes to people's families. I think it goes to if you're in a mosque and if you want to experience going inside a mosque, you might have to take off your shoes. Yes. You might have to kneel. So if you want to come, I don't know what to tell you. Then don't come. Yeah. And that I think that should be fine too.
Come, but understand I don't respect it. I did go to the Wailing Wall. I just know it's a big cultural worldwide thing. I didn't respect it or any of the rules.
Did you put on a yarmulke?
Yeah, sure, but it's a joke to me. So your family will be a joke to me if I do that. Is my point?
Right, but out in front, you are putting on the yarmulke. You are respecting it outside. Inside, you understand that this is a joke. So now, are you
outside? It's pretty clear. Outside, it's a joke too. I had a poison T-shirt. It's pretty clear that family over there didn't care for me too much. All right, and also when my girlfriend comes over and doesn't want to cook, but I convince her and make her to, how am I in the living room happy for a couple hours instead of worrying what's going on in there? Everybody's stomach is turning. What's the fucking point?
Yeah, and what would you do? What would you do? Because we are in the same boat. These guys can say whatever they want, and they're going to be sitting on the couch regardless. So who cares what they say? What do you say?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, my opinion of this was similar to what you're saying. I had a similar situation with my mom. We went to Thailand, and she made like a whole stink, like really loudly about how we had to cover up our legs, and my dad didn't. And we were like, Mom, you're not going to change this like tradition of this entire country, like one white woman, you know, coming out here and changing the whole rules. And
right. And by the way, if your mom wanted to change it, she could cause a ruckus. She's going to jail, though.
Exactly.
That's what rebels get. They yep. understand that, like, if I rebelled against this tradition in my home, I don't get to have parents anymore. That's the right. give and take. So you don't have to go to your boyfriend's parents' house. You don't have to be with his traditions. You won't get to have in-laws and he won't get to share it. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's the give and take. What do you want?
Right. That was my point of view too, is like, you know, I find this situation unfortunate and how they're really catty and that they only expect the women to do it. That's terrible. But, you know, you're coming into a dynamic that's already been laid out. And as a guest, I usually offer to help cook and clean anyway. It's a polite thing to do. So I think at least for your first time,
yes.
you need to go and kind of go with the flow of it.
How about scrub the toilet? How about the first day you scrub the toilet?
There's no toilet.
Well, that's crossing the line.
Don't make up anything. And by the way, you looked great in that yarmulke. So
I'll put the pictures up. Thank you.
Let me see that. I think you look beautiful. So my take here is similar to Shannon's. I feel like, listen, do a lot of households operate with this dynamic? Of course. Of course they do. And that is a symptom of the disease of sexism in our society, of prescriptive gender roles where women do all the housework. They have the career. Women basically do everything. It's impossible to be a woman, as Barbie put it, baby. That said, she is being asked to go and feel it out. This is OP's impression, the boyfriend's impression of what it is, and that's fair. I think it's an accurate assessment. He's not lying to her, but she's being asked to go. If she doesn't want to cook, she doesn't have to cook. She can leave. I feel like if I had to go to my, you know, girlfriends and their family does a big fishing trip, I don't care about fishing. I don't like fish.
Are you offended by fish? Or do you eat fish, actually?
I do eat fish.
Okay. Are you allergic to it?
Right.
And they're right. making you eat it.
You know, when I was in Israel, like I had come to take pictures of me next to the wall. That's making a joke of it. Here's what you do. While your girlfriend's cooking, just keep taking pictures. It's like, why are you taking so many pictures? Oh, because it's a joke. All right, I'll be in the living room now.
I don't know.
Why does this have to be the first impression? Extended family dinner. Make a new first impression
it's
a different
big thing.
Time.
And then who's so okay, in this situation also, it's like, oh, well, this is a sexist tradition. Okay, so then the idea here is that all these women, grown women, adults, you're gonna go in and be like, you guys are the victim of sexism. That is so condescending and juvenile.
So not the first first impression is fine, do it. What about the sixth impression? What if it's a year later, it's time for this dinner? No, no, no. Oh, I didn't tell you the first time I hated it, so I'm not going to do it anymore. But now that we're friends, you can hear my opinion, obviously.
I think she goes once. If she doesn't like the vibes and that's it, that's fair, babe. Whatever. I guess
you think she ends up loving it? She's like, actually, I'm making dessert, too.
Well, may I say that this is actually what my household experience is. If I go to Passover dinner or whatever it is that family will be there, the women will serve. And when the first course is, there's courses, when every course is done, all of the women get up and move things to the kitchen and bring the next course. I didn't. Maybe there was some animosity. My cousin, who's 10 months younger than me, would be like, I guess you're sitting. And I'm like, I guess you're playing into this, you know? And I didn't say that. I didn't say that, but don't come at me like that. So there was stuff like that, but I chose to understand that there's enough helping hands here. And if you don't need another guy to help you, I don't even know. Like, there's enough women working. But then now, as I say this, I'm like, well, what I'm saying really is, fuck you, mom. You got this. You know, and now it's that conflict between the women of the house. And that
exactly.
fucking sucks. But it's always the decision. It's always, but that was in my household. But surprise, I don't talk to my parents. And surprise, when I was talking to my parents and I was going to these holidays, I didn't always invite whoever I was with. And when I invited the boyfriend or whatever, I was like, hey, no one's going to like you because you are the devil with their perfect angel. You're not Jewish. You're not exactly what they wanted. You're not going to be ever what they wanted. Do you want to come? Yeah. They'll say snide remarks in different languages and you will feel them.
Right.
You'll suddenly feel like you know Hebrew and Persian. You know Arabic after fucking, it's because they will find all of the languages that they know to shit on you without covering it up somehow. Come just to see this.
Right.
That's what I say. Yeah. Come just to like experience it. Go like, you didn't exaggerate. And I go, yeah, enjoy. Take video. This is amazing. Yeah.
I can't imagine telling my girlfriend I think something's unacceptable and she keeps going. I can't imagine.
She said it was unacceptable.
No, I understand. I'm saying if it was different. I'm saying me, if I said something's unacceptable and she's like, but can't you just do it for me? What made me say it's unacceptable to the person I love? Fuck out of here.
I think I'm softening. Look, I think that the fact here, let's just put it this way. I think that the way that OP is framing this comes from this, like, I'm young and hip and this is my family is sexist and they're all consenting adults. I think it's a little bit ridiculous, but just on the fact that he sold it so poorly, right, as Keith said, that she deemed it unacceptable. Can I really expect her to go? So I actually think I'm going to change my verdict on this and just say it's.
Oh, to what?
To kill myself.
He is being unreasonable. Keith is right. If your partner goes, that's unacceptable, and you go, well, you better accept it, sister. You're being
an
asshole.
Because I think he's perfectly fine.
Yeah, he said he tried to find a compromise with her, but she won't budge. And she's mad at him.
What's a compromise? He does side dishes?
Yeah, it's not his compromise. It's not his compromise. I cannot invite you to my family's house. And I say, but it'll be okay because I'll protect you. I have to tell you the truth. I can't protect you. They will be shitty to you. I fully understand if you don't want to come, but I do not want to soften this because they won't. Someone's telling you the truth. Remember the movie Get Out? I just said this like last week or something. I only said like the first half of it. And she was like, Kevin only saw the good half
of Get Out.
It's a black guy and a totally rich white girl. And he's like, okay, I'm going to meet your family. And she's like, yeah, it's going to be great. And he's like, do they know I'm black? And she's like, I don't think that matters. Right there, don't go. Right there, don't go. Right there, she's lying to herself. She's lying to you. She's lying to her face. She's lying about everything. It doesn't matter. Don't go. You are not being told the truth, obviously.
Well, spoiler, she was lying the whole time.
You don't want to put someone into a really uncomfortable position like this. I mean, she's basically being told, hey, you're going to go to this thing and be forced to do things that you find unacceptable. So,
no, and we're going to call it a party.
You are invited to this thing. This is how this thing runs. Do you want to go? It's like being invited to church. You're invited to church.
I bet the family didn't even invite her. I bet I'm making this up, but I bet you he's like, come, I have to show I have a girlfriend. And by the way, wear that skirt.
Okay. All right. I'll meet you at No Assholes Here, Hemda.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, this is just how his family functions.
I don't know. I don't talk to my dad. Hemda doesn't talk to her parents. Where do you get stuck? Where's the confusion?
In the choice.
Well, he obviously wants to have a relationship with them. And he wants her to have a good relationship with them. And again, I just feel like when you go over someone's house, you should be offering to do this stuff anyway. Like, I've never gone over anyone's house and not offered to, like, pitch in.
My first impression is how about the first impression I'm going to get from your family? I don't want to be here. How about we do a first impression with your parents, and then a second impression with another section of your family? Why does the first impression have to be Thanksgiving?
Why can't that's the only time like maybe he they sees could go to family. A restaurant or something?
Exactly. Yeah, OP. Go to a restaurant.
The onus is on OP to create a situation that should be better if this is going to be the worst. I mean, it's like, hey, do you want to attend our family's group orgy?
No.
Maybe that's not the right setting for them.
I know, but she never goes over to their family events again.
I disagree. I am not putting together a special event that I then have to go and be babysitting you. I'm telling you, there is no event where you will have a different experience. We can see them privately. We could see them amongst other people. I'm telling you, it'll be more fun amongst other people because we'll sort of like drown in the background than you sitting across from my parents. I'm telling you the truth. Mm. You don't want to do this, and we don't want to create special invitations where we extra go to their house.
Let me tell you what guys do, and we can all admit we run the world. You ever send a guy to the grocery store? And you needed black beans, but they came back with an apple. That's what you do. Fuck the mashed potatoes. You won't be asked again.
AITA for making my girlfriend uphold a sexist tradition so she can make a good first impression. Where are we, people? I'm ready to move on.
I say no.
I could go no assholes.
I say he's
here.
The. Oh, I don't. I can't live with myself if I go no assholes for anything. He's a piece of dog shit. He's a piece of dog shit, and I hope he goes alone and she fucks his friends.
The Barbie movie changed that man. The Barbie
movie fixed
him.
I can't believe the women are on this side and the men are on the other side. Did not see that one coming.
Radicalized by Barbs. All right, we got to do this one just because I'm so fascinated for your guys' take on this.
Yes.
Neither Shannon and I, we don't drink, so I'm curious what you guys think of this. AITA, shame for tipping $1 per shot. I was at my fave local pizza parlor in Chicago celebrating my friend's B-Day. We ordered several rounds of cocktails and food. There were six of us. And on a separate tab, I asked for two rounds of shots that I wanted to keep separate since that was my idea to get the birthday girl trash. So right. I didn't want to make the other tab complicated. After a few hours, we got our checks. I gave my credit card for the 12 shots. It was $10 a shot. My friend put her credit card for the big food drinks tab to make it easy, and we'd Venmo her. When she brought the tabs back out for us to sign, my friend with the big tab tipped 25%. We said, fine. For the shots, I tipped $12 total.
For how many shots?
Four.
There
total.
Were six.
Wow. And it was $120.
So she said 10% on the shots.
Okay.
As we were getting ready to leave, the waitress comes back to the table and says to me in front of everyone something along the lines of, I just want you to know that I'm now losing money because of your tip, since 80% of this tip will go to the bartender and barback, so thanks for that.
Nope, she's asshole. Done. Burner. Done. Burner on the burner alive.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Throw this out.
I'm going to Oppenheimer you guys on this, so don't even.
And I'm going to come back in 2 days. Bye. This is silly. She's a cunt.
I tried to explain. Barbie did not fix him. I retract that statement. I tried to explain that we weren't trying to short her and that this was a bar tab in any way. I stuck to the $1 drink shot. Mind you, I've worked in the service industry. For that particular tab, the service required was minimal and mostly came from the bartender. So, AITA for not tipping more on that tab.
No, you're fine.
Okay, so I have to say I used to work in the service industry. And
I like that we all call it that. I did too. I was in the service industry as well.
I know. It kind of sounds dirty a little bit. And I actually remember, like, I did used to get upset about this because the way that the tip out system, as she mentioned, is kind of messed up. I think especially when it comes to alcohol. Like, we shouldn't have to tip out that much to the bar backs, like,
agreed.
You know, that's your boss.
That's your boss. When you want to be mad at it, look up. The
exactly.
boss is higher than you. The customer is below you.
Right.
And not dishing it to the people below you. You're arguing when really you're saying, hey, this system doesn't work for me. Talk to your boss or HR or whatever the fuck you got going on over there. These shots didn't work for me. I'm not telling you I didn't get drunk enough. Just do your right. part.
Yeah. Because we used to have these shots. I think it was like Class C Azul, and they were like $90 shots, literally. And they would order a bunch and then they would tip us like this. And it really was like we would be tipping out so much to our fellow employees. And it really was criminal, like how much we were getting basically robbed just from having this table.
You know who else is getting robbed? The person who paid $120 for that shot.
No, Hemda. No, Hemda. Reject.
We're all getting robbed.
You're not getting robbed. You are being a corpulent pig ordering a shot that costs $90. You decadent 1% piece of shit, or at least a role playing that you are. Screw you. If you can spend $90 for a shot, you're that fucking stupid. You can afford to tip the server who's making jack squat 20%.
Exactly.
That's the cost of the thing.
Yeah,
so
I
if
agree.
You want to act rich, tip rich.
Yeah, I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Here I just don't agree that the waiter should or the bartender should come up to you and tell
no,
you what's what.
No,
you got
no, no.
Fucked,
this is so tacky.
And somebody else will tip you 50% and it all evens out at the end. But I am not getting schooled by you. Goodbye.
No,
change
it's so
the
embarrassing
system.
In front of everyone, yeah. too.
That's so rude.
But right. embarrassing, you. That's what you were doing. You know there's a convention. I mean, I could leave here with an ESH, but I want an ESH.
Well, some people don't know that they don't realize, like, they equate the tip with the amount of work that the person did.
That's not a
and
thing.
A lot of time, and it sucks because a lot of times it's like, no, it's actually, you really should tip on the dollar amount because of the tip out system.
If you're such a weird, if you got the balls to say something like that to a customer, then tell me ahead of time, would I rather sit at the bar? If you got the balls to say that, I never did. I would never, I didn't even like to follow somebody if they tried to walk out. I remember working at a restaurant, they walked out and I go, hey, you didn't pay. And they're like, oh, sorry, we didn't know where to pay. Like, not on Second Avenue.
We didn't know where, so we just laughed.
I still didn't act like, I think you know. It's either a person or a machine. I think you know.
I think at a restaurant, it's 20%.
A little louder, Danny. You're disagreeing, but still you should be louder.
I think at a restaurant, it's 20%. It's 20%. That's what it is. We all know that's what it is. There's no like, oh, well, I reckon the amount of effort this took is actually slightly less, so I'm going 16% on this one. No.
Yeah,
nobody cares
right.
what you think. It's 20%. End of story. And I'm sick of these people who will try to make special rules for alcohol. If you're going to be...
But if you buy a beer, for example, you don't give 20%. You give more. You give a dollar. So what's the... Now we need a fucking the rules and a map and a calculator.
You could always give more, Keith.
Oh, nobody's you can give more? That's what generous. I was saying. You can't trick me. Fuck you. Fuck that waiter.
Oh, my God. You podcasting rich podcaster swine. This is disgusting. Anybody who's getting a $10 shot should be sick to their stomach that they would let themselves indulge like this and then to stiff the waiter on top of it. No wonder. You deserve a hangover. I hope you're hungover for a week.
A $10 shot? Isn't that normal?
That's crazy. Think of how crazy that is. I don't know. I haven't bought a shot
in 10
years.
Yeah, but that's how much drinks are. Like,
I think he's more upset at Johnny Tesla and the 1%. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, yeah. Always.
I think it's unrelated.
Yeah, if Pizza is writing in, he's writing, Danny's right, eat the rich. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about social norms and how to interact with them.
I'm talking about rich. This is a rich purchase. To spend $10 on an ounce of liquid, you're disgusting. That's disgusting to me. That is
what?
Very
how much? How
me.
Much did you spend on eggs last brunch?
Eggs?
Yeah.
I spent, you know, $20 on eggs. I don't know for a
Why?
Nice eggs Benedict.
Why? I buy a whole dozen eggs for $2. Do you want to do the math now? You're an idiot. Are you an idiot for buying eggs for more than $2 a dozen?
There's a
system.
But that's a prepared dish, Hamda. This is a dollar of poison.
I mean, I agree, but I don't drink. Oh. But we can't decide that.
Listen,
I agree that it's poison, but that's...
I can't believe that you people here, including the guy who put his feces into a milkshake, isn't going to say all these MFers who are trying to make up rules. That was Keith, by the way.
I just met Shannon today, first of all.
No
secondly, way. Secondly, shit in his drink. But don't be, do you guys know I'm actually? Shitting's better.
I need to.
I don't know what you do.
Were Shannon's, you, was it revenge or something?
Yes. Yeah. It was like, it was a fancier diner, like diner, but prices of real restaurants. And, and these group of teenagers came in. Let's say the restaurant closed at 10 o'clock. They came in at 9:59. And it's like, oh, we're about to close. Like, nah, you still have another minute. Managers are all sissies, of course. And they're like, oh yeah, come on in or whatever. They all share fries and a milkshake. And so I shat in the milkshake. No, oh, here, I'm sorry. I'm missing an important part, Shannon. Hold on. This is important. They came in, they ordered barely nothing, made a fucking mess. So, you know, the busboys have to stay late and all that shit for absolutely nothing. Oh, then there's a napkin that said your tip's inside. I open up the napkin, no, nothing's in there. It's like, fuck you, haha. Then they came back another time late thinking I wouldn't remember them. Obviously, you're in my diary now.
Yeah, literally.
They ordered the same thing. I shat in the milkshake, gave it to them. They honestly said it's good. I did it again. I put the rest of this shit in. I'll explain. And this one's on me, you pieces of shit.
This is honestly how I got COVID.
Kenda was living a crazier lifestyle than this even, somehow. I went downstairs. I shat in a cup. Happened to have a nice, beautiful log. Went upstairs, milkshaked it up.
Beautiful look.
You could smell it reeking from the thing. I'd actually dumped some out and put in more ice cream, but it was so worth it. So beautiful. No regrets. I'm now almost 50. Doesn't bother me for a second.
Holy shit. That's like The Help.
Yes. The movie. Yeah. And you didn't feel bad for her. Right. And she was right to do that.
Oh, and this is why you don't fuck with people who are handling your food.
Right.
I don't know why people don't understand this.
Right. I don't know why.
That was the original minimum rage.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah, you got to be, I mean, this actor strike is going on. Why are you treating actors poorly? They handle your food.
True.
There we go.
I need to make that on the sign next time I go picketing.
All right, can I bring us to an ESH, guys? Come on. These people who are like, well, it didn't take that much effort. ESH. It didn't take that much effort, so why do I have to tip?
I can't do it.
I can.
Jeez.
I don't like the 10% tip. But I don't like the waiter more for pointing it out, because I do think there's a give and take to being a waiter. And I wasn't in that service industry, but I was in a different service industry. And there's, I've done shitty jobs where people just look at me like they're smelling shit, even though I'm not putting it in their milkshake. And it's, you know, you win some, you lose some. Some people treat you like shit. I was going to people's houses about to take care of their kids and be the party for their kids. I did kids' parties, and they would, some of them would open the door and go like, oh. Can you take the side entrance? Or some of them would open the door and go like, you don't look like Dora. And I'm like, your kids have a better imagination. Trust me. Hola. Move. And then some people would open the door and be like, before you set up, would you like food? Here's a tip ahead of time. You win some, you lose some. But true. I do not, in front of their guests, in front of their party, their time to shine, go, why didn't you do this better? That's not in front of the scenes things. That's, and it's not like you got completely ripped off. That's a different story. And it's not my fault that the system in your restaurant, what you're complaining about is something you should be talking to your boss about, because it's the system. It's not the $10 that I gave you. So yes, I would have been on the waiter's side, but that's crossing a major line. So no, the waiter's an asshole.
I see that.
Thank you.
All right. What are you going to do?
I like this duo.
Maybe soft.
Sorry, Danny.
You can hear the entire shit milkshake story on my album, Happy to Serve You, by the way.
I'm getting a Mattel tattoo to spite you, Hamda. Shannon, bring us home. We got a dumb one to wrap us up. This is a fun one.
Okay. AITA for not letting my apartment mate or roommate. Oh,
I hate this person. Pip, pip.
After she got spat upon by a camel.
A camel spat on her and somebody wouldn't let her in. Okay.
What?
I share an apartment with another woman and we've been decent enough acquaintances. Apparently, she walked out to this fair, like a carnival, that had all sorts of attractions and animals. It was walking distance, about a mile from our unit. I remember it being advertised, but didn't go. Okay. Well, to put it plainly, she got spat on by a camel. She texted me shortly after it happened to warn me and said that she was coming home.
How much spit are you dripping?
Seriously. I know. Did you not wipe any of it off? Am I going to really see that you got spat on by a camel a mile after you walked?
I just want to warn you, I'm a hugger.
Just wait. Okay. I saw her coming up the steps looking miserable through the window and went to the porch to greet her. But instantly I was hit with the most unbelievable vile smell I've ever smelled from a good 20 feet away. I really couldn't take it. I got a whiff and I could feel my stomach churning. Went back inside and closed the door. She came up and tried to get inside with her key, but I was practically begging her, no, whatever
you're
happens.
You're an asshole. You're an asshole.
Do not come in like that.
Oh, my God. Then how are you going to come in? Where are you going
to
shower?
Go to the gym. What the fuck is... Yeah,
fuck
of course.
You.
Of course.
Oh, my God. It's my shower. And when I'm dirty, I go in it.
Right.
She was yelling, what? I live here. And then was practically crying and said she had nowhere else to go.
Of course.
Said, I'm sorry, but there's no way I can let you in here.
And, how do you think that's going to get solved, by the way? And by the way, next time the other person who got spat on, when your roommate takes a shit, rip her off the toilet because that's disgusting. Throw her outside.
I suggested that she find a hose or shower somewhere or jump in a creek or something, anything, but coming in like that. But she was saying no store would let her in, but held firm. I held the door closed until she walked away. She came back about an hour later, soaking wet. Maybe she had jumped in a creek. And I opened the door and the smell was maybe barely better, but still horrific. She's jumped straight into the shower, but I can still faintly smell it throughout our entire living room. And it's making me absolutely sick. Well, yeah. Now we're both furious at each other. I'm mad that she came in before the smell was gone.
And you said it was camel spit, not camel shit, right?
Yes. Okay. Spit. Just apparently checking. It's really potent.
Oh,
yeah.
And this girl is so sensitive.
She's so furious that I dared to hold the door shut and keep her out and saying that she's going to tell the landlord. But I don't know what else I could have done. A-I-T-A.
Die.
You don't know what else you could have done? You don't know what else you could have done?
What?
You could, I mean, not even this, but you couldn't even think to give her a bucket of soapy water. Not that, don't get me wrong, you're a piece of shit if you do that. But you couldn't figure anything that could get done.
Go find a creek?
Brutal.
Brutal. Why? First of all, the fact that I texted you that I'm having a bad day, that's a text. That's not lock the door on me.
She's acting like she got a zombie bite. Like, I gotta warn you now, I got a zombie bite.
I'll never be the same again. Okay. What the fuck?
I Googled it.
I guess this is like a skunk or something.
It could be. Doesn't matter. I still get to go home. It could be the worst, most vile smell. I get to go home.
True.
The camel spit, it's not saliva. They actually throw up into their own mouths and then re-chew it, or they can use it kind of as a weapon or defense system.
Okay. Yeah, she had a bad day.
Now I feel worse for her.
Yeah, I don't feel like, oh, well, she didn't say it smelled bad. We're well aware. It's a terrible, terrible situation.
I got to know where she lives. It better be Montana or something, you know, somewhere with open air.
Or like creeks readily available.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the middle of Dallas, Texas. Go find a creek.
She didn't even say, like, go to the creek down there. She said, find a creek. Which find a creek. You don't know where the creek is.
Yeah, just a creek.
Go give this to someone else.
Have you guys ever been skunked?
No. Have you?
No, but I had a friend who was skunked, and she told me that it smelled for 1 week, that it was detectable for a full week after, no matter how many showers, there's nothing you can really do.
I assume she was homeless for a week then, right?
I think she like avoided school for like 3 of the 4 days or whatever.
There's a difference.
She went in.
You avoid not home.
Cry.
Like, you avoid everything. I have COVID. I'm not getting put out. What the fuck? Right. I don't get to go to the supermarket. I don't get to buy a lotto ticket, no matter how many billions. I don't get to go buy weed from a store. But I'm here, and whoever lives here is about to get sick. Point. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a lot of times when people have COVID, like, you're usually the one that gets to stay home, and then like your roommate vacates for the week and goes and stays with a friend or something to try and avoid it.
Or you're sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
This is your life.
You guys don't have any exotic animal experiences? I feel like Keith has like his Tinder picture as a rhinoceros for a couple years or something.
I had I was with an unclean woman once.
Oh, you monster. Barbie didn't work. Barbie made him worse.
By the way, if this is the first Keith and the Girl show you're listening to, well, lucky you, right? These two are a fucking treat. We also talk about the Barbie movie last week, if you want to hear that, with Rod Morrow. Very fun show. Let me mention this. The podcast you want to download is Am I the Asshole Podcast? And I think we all agree, right? This the roommate's the bitch. The one that's trying to throw the other one out, right? That's clear. Yes, can we say that? Can we use that word? You ever hear about that failed Barbie?
Danny
says Barbie?
No. Danny yelled at me for saying the B word.
Oh, good for him.
How about if we say the roommate who didn't get spit on is a Ken?
The roommate that.
But
didn't.
That's going to be confusing.
I'm with it. I'll take it.
Because Kens are assholes.
Oh,
right?
the roommate that didn't get spit on.
Yeah, the roommate that didn't get spit on.
The one who walked the other one out is a Ken.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
She's just Ken.
And I forgive your Alan comment. I don't know what it means, though, but I still forgive you.
Keith Nuff.
It's a good thing.
You are good. Keith Nuff.
Keith Nuff. I did like that as a shirt, and I bet a lot of people went out and bought I am Knuff.
Right.
Yep. Right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually was like, when I first saw it, I was like, Kno? Like, I was not reading it like Knuff. I was like, I do not understand. The goddamn English never makes any sense.
Well, Danny, thank you for your time again. You're always provocative and great. Shannon, very nice seeing you. If you know to meet you, we have to know Danny. Fine, I guess. But I mean, if I had to pick, who's the asshole? Hey, I'm not saying it. I'm saying you're a treat.
I know. I've been listening to you guys on AITA Pod when I was just a listener. So it's really great meeting you guys. You're hilarious.
Bless you. Anything else the people should know? Either of you?
AITAPod.com, and we'd love to have you guys. We got to have you guys on the show. I missed you guys. But get better first, yeah. Hemdat. I don't want exposure right even over Zoom.
I know. You could just smell me from there. Like, it's just so... Just lock the door.
I feel like these AITAs, I think they should have to add pictures of the people. It really would help me.
No, Keith.
I
know. Add a nice Barbie, remember there. Barbie.
It would change our verdict.
Would you remember Barbie, where you got the biggest IMAX screen? But we don't judge by looks. That's true. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll talk to you soon. KeithAndTheGirl.com.